Mecum Auctions, the world's largest collector car auction company, returns to Indy with Dana Mecum's 37th Original Spring Classic, May 10th through the 18th at the Indiana State Fairgrounds. 3,000 muscle cars, Corvettes, exotics, and more. Broadcast on Motor Trend TV and streaming live on Max. From avid collectors to those new to the Mecum experience, we welcome everyone. Register to bid now at Mecum.com.
Trade Commission has put an end to non-compete agreements. This news broke after the close of business yesterday. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC, good morning. The Federal Trade Commission banning employers from utilizing non-competes. Non-compete means you can't go join the company across the street. This is going to get court challenges right away. If you sign a contract that says if you stop working here, you can't go work at this type of business in this area for X number of days, weeks, months, years, you signed a contract. The argument is, well, that's abusive, and you can't force somebody not to get a job. This measure was approved 3-2. The majority on the FTC are Democrats, or I should say Democrat appointed. This is the first time, as the Wall Street Journal reports it, in over 50 years that there's been a regulation to mandate an economy-wide change in how companies compete. According to the chair, Lena Khan, it restores what is the right of Americans that corporations have taken by imposing these non-competes, and the quote is, robbing people of their economic liberty also robs them of all sorts of other freedoms. So the Biden administration has been kind of focused on this, according to sources, saying that it's simply an unfair practice. When people engage in contract, they engage in contract of their own free will. So why would I ever think that a contract is unacceptable? Violating a contract, we would consider making something null and void. But if you sign a deal, you sign a deal. I have a non-compete. If for some reason I were to end the show right now, I couldn't now go across the street and work at another station. I signed that deal. Now, I could say, you know what? I'm going to go get a job anyway, and I'll let the chips fall where they may because kids need shoes, and I got to do what I got to do. Right? Wouldn't that be on me in that situation? So if you sign, you sign. Was someone forcing you to sign? I'm just curious. See that? People love to use that as the subterfuge, almost as the shield to getting into a conversation. No. I think if you sign, you sign. I don't know how this is now going to be handled in the courts, but it's going to the courts. But for a lot of people, they might just quit today and go across the street. So someone keep an eye on Nigel. Yeah, that's what I would do. That would be me. I'd be keeping an eye on, good advice anyway, keep an eye on Nigel. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC, good morning. Republicans running for governor took to the debate stage with the Indiana Debate Commission, and it was terrible. And the Indiana Debate Commission should issue an apology to the candidates and to the viewers. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC, good morning. There's nobody on that commission who should feel good about what happened. And if any member of that commission wants to call in, I will tell you directly. You want to meet one-on-one, I will tell you directly. You should be ashamed of what took place on that stage. The debate moderator is a man by the name of John Schwantes. In my life, I had never heard of John Schwantes. Just because I never heard of somebody doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean that they aren't capable. It doesn't mean that they aren't prepared. It doesn't mean that they don't have a skill set. Unless, of course, we're talking about John Schwantes. He hosts something called Indiana Lawmakers. It's a public affairs show. That does not make him a man capable of performing a debate. Because when you are a debate moderator, you do not get personally involved and you do not make yourself the story. And John Schwantes did both. It was the most unprofessional display I have seen since Candy Crowley moderating the debate between Mitt Romney and Barack Obama in 2012. It should be, in at least in this subject of debates, career ending. That's how despicable it was. I give you an example, and stay with me here. When it came to Mike Braun, Senator Mike Braun was not on the debate stage because he got called back for a vote in the Senate. When you're a senator, you get to take advantage of the opportunity that you're a senator, and you can get national media anytime, and you've got the name ID. It really does help in a run for something like governor, but you might get called away from something you want to be doing for your campaign because you have a job to do. That's what happened. It is not the job of the debate moderator to give the positions of the candidate who isn't there. It is the risk you run. You can mention that the senator was called away for a vote and therefore can't be with us. He referred to it as an important vote on foreign aid. Well, that's editorializing because the audience may not see it that way. The very concept of important can be seen a series of ways. You would say he was called away for a vote and is unable to be with us tonight. You can find out more at MikeBraun.com and leave it there. But to advocate, to state his positions, well, I know Mike Braun has said this in the past, that is not the role of the moderator. As Curtis Hill pointed out very well, for a guy not speaking for Mike Braun, you're doing a heck of a job of it. It was impossible to gauge who won the debate except for who dealt with this moderator the best, and that was Curtis Hill and Jamie Rittenour. They did the best job of saying to this moderator, what in the bloody world are you talking about? Which, of course, brings us to the popcorn moment. Let's go, let's go, let's go! It's a story you need to hear to believe, then grab your popcorn because there is more. The debate was already unprofessional. The rules of the debate, not known. You had Brad Chambers asking, well, wait, how do I do a rebuttal? You didn't know beforehand? Well, John Schwantes clearly didn't know. There was no control and saying, hey, you can trust me to do this right. He wanted to be folksy. Hey, I'm smarter than the room. Hey, look at me, I'm on TV. Top of the world, ma. Not a seriousness to the subject at hand. And then, of course, because, well, how could it not? The whole conversation turned to Trump. Well, of course it did, Tony. I mean, how could it not, dear Lord?
All right. We are going to give those arms another chance to flex. Not to the point you need Tommy John surgery or anything, but we're going to see if we can, again, rest the vocal cords and maybe go with this. So more rapid-fire questions, if we want to call them that. And we're going to these all deal, this next section, with election integrity, which has been certainly a persistent issue nationwide, and in recent years, so we've seen that come to the fore many times. And the candidate who is likely to be at the top of Hoosiers' ballots on the Republican side, Donald Trump, certainly has weighed in quite a bit on the issue of what he sees as a lack of election integrity. So, show of hands, raise your hands if you are confident in the integrity of Indiana's elections.
Now, forgive the feedback right there that came from the recording. Election integrity does matter. But it was the mention of Trump that had you saying, okay, I know where this is going. Now, the only person who questioned the integrity was Jamie Rittenour. She gives a little bit of a response, and then John Schwantes, the moderator, continues to go down the ugliest road possible.
Try one more. Again, show of hands. A significant number of Republicans in Indiana, certainly, and elsewhere, agree with President Trump's claim that the 2020 election was stolen. Raise your hand if you agree that the election was stolen.
That question cannot be answered yes or no.
That
is not a yes or no question.
That's funny because I asked it as a yes or no question.
That's a guy who wants to get into a fight. Curtis Hill is saying that's not actually a yes or no question. And the moderator, John Schwantes, is like, well, you're clearly not smart enough to understand it.
That question cannot be answered yes or no. That is not a yes or no question.
That's funny because I asked it as a yes or no question.
Well, it involves facts. Let me reframe it, counselor.
Counselor, is Joe Biden the duly elected president of the United States?
Yes.
All right. Anybody disagree?
That is a leftist nonsense talking point that has no place in the election in a debate whatsoever. None. Zero. Zero. Why is election integrity? How is the safety of an election? I don't actually mind that question. But this is about whether or not you're one of them MAGA folk. This is ugly.
Very good.
Wait, I just want to make a statement because I just think that's an unfair question. Let's just be very clear. What happened in the 2020 election that everybody should agree on is that it wasn't properly adjudicated. So they should have spent more time investigating that election, and it wasn't it was not investigated.
Next question.
So that's an unfair question.
Jamie Rittenour answers the question. He doesn't want to hear it. He doesn't want any part. You asked the question. You're mocking these candidates. I asked it as a yes or no question. And she answers because it takes a little bit more than a yes or no. And you don't want to hear it.
I think we know where you come down. No, listen. Raise your. All right.
Anomalies in that election. I went to bed at 2:00 in the morning with the president, with President Trump winning, and woke up in the morning and he was losing. There are anomalies that we can't understand. We don't know about, so we
all
cannot answer.
I'll
that
just say
question,
for
yes
question
no.
for a question that's impossible to answer, you just answered it. So next try again. Raise your hand. Well, you did. Raise your hand if you will recognize the results of the November election for president, regardless of the outcome.
He's picking a fight again with Curtis Hill. Will you recognize the results of the election? And as the candidate said, well, we don't know what's going to happen. What if something actually happens? These are nonsense questions. These are progressive MSNBC type questions that have no place in a debate. The failure from John Schwantes here is through the roof. He did a terrible job. These questions don't count and don't matter. Questions about LEAP, questions about taxes, questions about the border, questions about Indiana's growth, questions about education, all questions, not this. John Schwantes should not think of himself as good or decent in this. What an absolute abject failure. And the Indiana Debate Commission should be ashamed of themselves. So we can be clear, I, who am clearly on the political right, should be asked to do the debate in the general because there is no one in the state of Indiana who would bring it more to an honest place and ask the questions of both parties and me. Zero. I put myself up against anybody in the state of Indiana. And if you say to me, well, we would never take someone like you. We need someone from the NPR world. You just did that, and it was a debacle. You need serious people who want to get Hoosiers serious answers. not somebody who wants to be seen on TV and thought of as a real smart guy. Disgusting stuff.
Ryan, you were just talking about this, a very important intersection. It's Meridian and 38th Street, and right now northbound Meridian is closed to 38th because of a bus fire. An Indigo bus was fully engulfed, and northbound Meridian is impassable right now. I would avoid the area altogether. All directions are backing up. Then on the northwest side, that's a crash. Northbound 65 before you peel off at 465. It involves a semi. The left lane is blocked. Traffic backed up to West 56th Street, almost to Lafayette Road. Southbound 65, coming down from the Boone, through the Boone. It is a crash cleanup that continues at Whitestown Parkway right now. We have two right lanes blocked. Also, the left lane is blocked, leaving a center lane open. We are not moving. If barely moving at all, and traffic is stopped back to State Road 267. Delay time right now, if you are at the back of the line, is 55 minutes. Traffic sponsored by B Window for a limited time. With B Window, get 50% off all products in 20 months, no interest or payments. Plus, qualifying completed projects earn a $500 gift card at Sullivan Hardware and Garden. Details at bwindow.com. I'm Matt Bear with traffic on the fives. Follow us at WIBC Traffic.
Matt, stay with me for a second. First of all, a lot of thanks to Keith C60 there on X, who saw this bus on fire and got the video and shared it with you at WIBC Traffic on X. And of course, you've got the reporting avoiding the area, Meridian and 38th, this Indigo bus that is fully engulfed. I've already had people reach out to me and talking about, oh, electric buses. Before anything, we don't know what kind of bus this is. We don't know if there are people on the bus. We don't know if anybody got hurt. Before people want to get into the mocking, let's take a breath, okay? I want to make sure people are safe. I want to make sure there's not going to be an explosion. This thing is next to a bus stop. I don't want that catching on fire. The video is quite incredible. If you follow Matt there at WIBC Traffic, you'll be able to see it because people share things with him all the time. Let's get an understanding of what's happening. Let's make sure people are safe. We can go from there. There's plenty of time. This isn't it right now. And if you consider that an excoriation, I'm a guy who waits for data. I'm not interested in jumping to the thing. Just not. Wanted to make sure I was very, very clear on that subject. I don't know. It just annoyed me at the first. So forgive me if that seems harsh. But, you know, let's take a breath, everybody. Let's make sure everyone's okay. 44 degrees in the American Standard Cooling Weather Center. The time is 7:38. So Speaker Johnson is going to go to Columbia University, and he's going to speak about anti-Semitism on college campuses. Who knows? I don't know if they're going to be able to keep him safe. What I do know is Marjorie Taylor Greene is going to be angry because Trump is still supportive. It does put her in a spot. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC, good morning. Good to be with you. She wants Speaker Johnson gone. To the extent that she has an argument that she doesn't like the votes he has put on the floor, that's fine. The idea of vacating the chair is a ridiculous idea. It just isn't how you get something done. It's how you build your own brand. And I'm not interested in her building her own brand. Not in the slightest. But you have Mike Johnson pushing these votes. I would have pushed the vote on border security first. Of course, we passed Ukraine funding, Israel funding, Taiwan funding, now passing the Senate, but nothing for the border. It's wrong. It's madness. Even if I support these other things, the border first. And Trump is saying, look, we have a majority of one. It's not like he can go and do whatever he wants. I think he's a very good person. You know, he stood very strongly with me on NATO. I think he's trying very hard. Well, if that's what you're going to say, that puts people like Marjorie Taylor Greene in a very, very tough and difficult position. So I would assume that he's going to be safe. They aren't going to move forward with this, no matter what Thomas Massie wants. But as for the visit today at Columbia, I don't know if they're going to be able to guarantee that these crowds won't go nuts. Because these crowds are nuts. And when you're supported by bigots like Jamal Bowman, you feel like you have all the reason in the world to be nuts. I will get into more. It's not the only story going on, but because the speaker's going, is worth sharing. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning. We are following that bus fire on 38th and Meridian. Matt Bear will have the latest on the traffic reroutes to avoid the area. It is an Indigo bus that is fully engulfed, or at least was. The video, if you follow WIBC traffic on X, you will see it there because Matt's little birds sent it to him, and we greatly appreciate that. We don't know anything. We don't know what kind of bus it was or anything else right now. We might know in mere moments. Let's first make sure everybody's okay. Let's make sure everybody was off the bus. Curious about how this happened. Let's get to that before we get to what kind of bus, right? You don't have to own anybody. First, you want to make sure everybody's alive. Well, I rank the things, guys. It's just who I am. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning. Good to be with you. Title VI of the Civil Rights Act of 1964. Title VI is the idea that federal law protects people from discrimination based on race, color, or national origin. It is in this context that you are now seeing even the Secretary of Education, Miguel Cardona, who has no interest in parents and really no interest in education, condemning, quote, anti-Semitic hate on college campuses, unquote, and taking a look at things like the Gaza Solidarity encampment at Columbia University. It's not Gaza Solidarity. They support Hamas because they're disgusting, awful people. They should be better. They should be better. You support terrorists. Of course it's disgusting. And he has stated that anti-Semitic hate on college campuses is unacceptable. I am deeply concerned by what is happening at Columbia University. In November of 2023, our Office for Civil Rights opened an investigation of Columbia involving Title VI. He continues, quote, while we can't comment on pending investigations, every student deserves to feel a sense of safety and belonging at school. Hate has no place in our schools. All education leaders must stand definitively against hate, anti-Semitism, anti-Arab, and anti-Muslim sentiment. I don't know why you added the other things in there, because that's not the issue at all. Are these schools involved in a Title VI violation? When you have professors who are forming a human chain to prevent you from getting to NYU and either arresting these radicals or suspending them from the school for their actions, violations of school policy, etc. Title VI violation? Because you're saying it's okay that they scream death to Jews. But they don't care about that, the professors, obviously. But if we have these titles and they're supposed to matter, we have these things, these reasons, well then, you know, to fight, why not utilize them? It's interesting that Cardona is going down this road, the Department of Education. And I think it's because they know they're going to get sued. They know it's going to happen. This is about pressure on the state of New York to do something about what's happening. Now, I've got much more to say about these subjects. I'll get to some of it on Tony Katz today. But there's nothing that drives some of the elitists more crazy than the rules being used against them. And these people don't feel that there should be any rules about their actions and their despicableness whatsoever. But the divide in America is very real. And if you haven't already, you're going to have to pick a side. Do you think that we should be supportive of these institutions or not? I didn't say how the side was going to play out. And there are 100 subjects to which you may have to take a side. But yeah, there's no sitting on the fence, kids. It seems obvious.